This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It was windy, it was blustery, it was frustrating. But in the end, the Stags still managed to stay top of Sky Bet League 2. The big question, though, is can they stay top of League 2 at the end of the Easter weekend, starting with Good Friday's trip to Wrexham, a side who are just 3 points behind the Stags. Although, of course, Mansfield have that massive goal difference. Can the Stags have the wind in their sails? Can they get through the Easter period with a maximum 6 points? Or will it be the thing we've all been dreading? The thing we don't want to talk about? The D word. As always, we want you to have your say on your team. This is the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast, where tonight we'll look back on that frustrating game against Colchester and ahead to seven huge fixtures. Seven games between Mansfield and the end of the season. Seven games between Mansfield Town and a possible promotion to Sky Bet League One. Is it on the cards? Let's strap in and continue to follow the journey. Hello, good evening and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast. It's the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. A 1-1 draw at Wankhorst Stadium in front of the Sky cameras left us feeling a little bit frustrated. But in the end, it was a point and the Stags still stay top of League 2 with seven games to go. Joining me tonight to reflect on that Colchester fixture and look ahead to the Easter weekend and beyond, let's say hello to another quartet of Stags fans with varying years experience of highs, lows, ups and downs. Let's start with the man who's probably got the most years of Stags following experience and the man who've already seen once today as we were in America, albeit virtually. Evening, Clive.
Hi, Craig.
Let's go to the man who's got, arguably got the least years of experience both in life and in watching Stags. Evening, Cam.
Evening.
Let's go to the man who's got more Mansfield Town shirts than Mansfield Town have had promotions. It's Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts fame.
Evening.
And let's finally say hello and good evening to the man who's begging, and I mean begging, to say goal scorer for the Stags, Mansfield Town's number 10, Giorgio Mauricio. It's Aaron Wilsonio.
Good evening, Craig. Good evening, everybody.
Good to see you all, as always. As always, if you're watching the live feed and you want to get involved on the show, make sure you get involved in the live feed comments and have your say on your team. Well, let's kick off then, shall we, with Saturday's early kickoff. It certainly threw me in terms of timings in the day. I had no idea. I mean, I was leaving the ground thinking I'd just be leaving my house at this point. It completely threw me out. But in the end, did it throw the Stags out, Cam? It was a 1-1 draw on a frustrating, blustery afternoon marred with conditions and horrendous tactics from the Cowley brothers.
Well, that pretty much sums it up. It was terrible football. and we don't beat Cowley sides, simple as. And you knew that they weren't going to come play football. You don't sink to third bottom, and at the time we're in the relegation zone, by playing slick, fast football. You play hoofball and just kick lumps out of players and then go down every 30 seconds. I have a question for everyone. How on earth is it only 3 minutes added on in the first half?
That's frustrating, wasn't it?
The referee told Mr. Clough that it was his mistake. He hadn't allowed the right amount and he would make it up in the second half, apparently.
Don't think he did, though, in the end. No. Nick, it was a frustrating afternoon for us all, but in the end, what Mansfield have done well this season is when they've been up against it, they have managed to get the goal back and grind out some form of result, as displayed over your shoulder by the two goalkeeping shirts.
Yeah. I think I was more frustrated at the time. I'm getting less frustrated, especially after Saturday night's result. I think that made me feel a little bit better about things. But I think Stags of old have lost that game without a shadow of a doubt. I couldn't see us scoring at all. And I think literally as the ball came in the box, my words to my dad was, well, we're not going to score from this anyway. And literally then we did. So, you know, we are hard to beat, aren't we? I did look, we haven't drawn for 11 games, something silly like that when I had a look earlier, which was a bit silly. You know, we haven't had many draws, have we? We've either won or we've lost, but we fought it out and we got a point, and at the end of the season, that point might be really important. But we didn't play well, did we? That was the takeaway from it.
Yeah, Alan, it wasn't the greatest Stags performance of the season. And I think even if you take, you know, the Cowley's tactics and the weather conditions out of the equation, Mansfield need to perform better in the last seven games if they're going to get over the line.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They came to frustrate. They succeeded in doing so. The weather didn't help, but I would class it as a point gained and not 2 points lost. Because like Nick said, in previous matches and previous seasons, we'd have lost that game. And we're very hard to, you know, beat now. And like they all say, if you can't win it, certainly don't lose it, which they didn't.
Paul in the comments says the weather didn't help Saturday, but then time wasting as well as poor officials. And loved what Clive put on Facebook after the game. What did you put on Facebook after the game, Clive? Can you even remember?
I think I called the Cowleys a rude name.
Right, okay. We'll leave it there, shall we? Did you call them some form of appendage or something?
No, I said they were cynical and snide, I think is what I said.
Clean rude.
Yeah.
I have to say that I don't like Cowleys at all. Never have done. And the more I see of them, the less I like them. But their tactics were spot on. They did exactly what was required in the conditions that both teams had to play in against a team they shouldn't have been anywhere near. But they came for a point and they got it. Now, they very nearly got 3 points, rather. And I think the bottom line is, I went down to applaud the players off at the end of the game. I'm stood next to their dugout. And their coach, and it wasn't one of the Cowleys, it was the other guy, he was talking as much to himself as to the fans, and he was saying what a brilliant point they got from the game. And if you think about it, that point mattered enormously to them, because there's not a great gap between the two teams below them, albeit Colchester have got a couple of games in hand.
And this is my point, Cam, about how teams are going to come now. If we delve into the last seven fixtures, all bar Accrington have got something to play for. And even then, you would argue that Accrington's still a hard game because their players will be fighting for their futures with their new managers on the prowl and things like that as well. And those sides that are scoring at the bottom, you know, we've only really got one of them in Forest Green. That's going to be a tough game. But it's those particular sides who are going to come and frustrate us. And we have to not rise to their tactics. We have to raise our game a little bit more in that, because it's that which is going to prove critical. Like Clive just said there, their coach and that will have come off the pitch going, wow, that's a huge, huge result. And who knows, that could really be the springboard for them staying up.
It could. I mean, I'm hoping it's not. I hope they do go down, because my goodness, cannot stand the Cowleys, and Saturday was just another thing to add to the list. Just coming out in the second, ready for the second half, and just clapping sarcastically our fans.
Yeah, and whatever, like, you think about the Cowleys, Cam, at the end of the day, if you've got two teams out of three to get relegated, I think there's a lot more logic and justice, if you like, in that Forest Green Rovers and Sutton were to go back where they came from, rather than Colchester. They've got a long history in the league. Forget about Cowley. Forget about, you know, the tactics. Oh, by the way, I've just dug it up, Craig. I said Cowley.
Wait, hang on a minute. Am I going to need the sensor button?
No.
Okay.
Cowley, a cynical, cheating, snide slime bag.
Okay, all right, that's enough. I'd have just called him a... I'd have just called him a... but and been done with it.
Sorry, Cam, I interrupted you.
No, you're all right. Yeah, like Craig said, he's just one of them. They're going to come and frustrate us, and we've got to be ready to deal with that. We didn't deal with the weather conditions well. The wind was in our favour in the first half, and we didn't use it. So, one of them.
Yeah. I have to say, Nick, you know, as frustrating as it is, you know, we are going to come up against teams like that. And I think the other thing about it is, let's delve into the psychological part of it a little bit more, the psychology, because what teams know is we've got a fantastic home support. You cannot argue against that. It's been brilliant all season. But they know that when that fan base gets behind us, when they start to... you know, drive forward a little bit, when they start to give us a little bit more of that energy, that little bit of a boost, that's a massive thing. That's like having an extra player on the pitch. It's almost like we've already scored a goal. So what teams will do is they'll come and frustrate us. We as fans, we can't be as susceptible to that. We can't allow ourselves to delve into that as much as these games go on, surely.
No, I think we were a little bit better when it was... when we were losing. I thought we were actually a little bit better this weekend than we had been previously. Sometimes it does go very, very flat very quickly, doesn't it, if we don't attack. I think where we'll struggle is where teams sit back. You look at when we normally used to play Harrogate, they always used to sit back. This year, they were on the crest of a wave and they attacked us and got absolutely battered. I think where we will struggle is teams that sit back. But if we can get a point out of those games, and because there will be teams who attack us, without a doubt, MK Dons and Wrexham are going to go for it. You know, if Colchester have picked up a few points, Forest Green may have no choice but to attack. And I think that's when we're at our best, when teams attack us and we can pick them off. But we'll have to see on whether Friday's the same game. But I think the fans were better Saturday than they have been. And I think the North Stand helps as well. I think from the Quarry Lane, you get a feeling that the fans sort of wrap around the pitch a bit better. You see when when we're attacking that end, when we have corners, the players are sort of boosted a bit by having support at both ends. I think that's probably helped as well.
I think having a full Quarry Lane end helps as well. I've been quite impressed on the occasions it's been full, how much noise they make.
Both goals are always important, isn't it? If you pack the goals out, it's always... That's why a lot of clubs now move away fans onto the side of the pitch, which they never used to. You always used to bung them behind a goal, didn't you? But a lot of clubs now are sticking them on one side because they prefer their own fans behind the goals.
Yeah, Alan, it was something which Clive and I spoke about earlier on one of the several thousand Wrexham podcasts that are out there, about, you know, when you look at ticketing numbers and things like that and the advantage of having those fans wrapped around, because we obviously got the Wrexham allocation sold out in the blink of an eye. We could have got more tickets, but it was denied, as is their right. And that, again, plays into a psychological advantage because they know that we've not managed to bring as many fans as we would have liked to, that they'll pack out their place in numbers. And I think the same will go for us on the flip side as the remainder of the season comes. There's now not a game at home this season where we won't have access to that North Stand. Every single home game, Accrington, Crawley, Forest Green, and of course Gillingham, we're all going to have fans in there. And I think they'll sell some tickets as well in there. So I think it does play a big psychological advantage, doesn't it, if you minimise the number of fans that can come into your stadium. And I think we're going to feel that at Wrexham and probably MK Dons as well. I've got a feeling we won't get any more for them.
Yeah, it will, but I think fans, you know, they've proved it in the past, and it's proved it with the interviews that Nigel and Andy Garner and everybody else says, that we're so raucous, I don't think it really matters. We outsing a lot of other fans. You know, so I don't think that will particularly matter. The thing I like to see is the early goal. You've got to, you know, make sure you're on the front foot right from minute one to get the early goal, because whatever they do then, they've got to change their tactics. Cowley brothers would have had to do. You know, if we'd have scored the early goal, they'd have had to change the tactics. And that's the big thing for me. If we get the early goal like we normally do, Mansfield, you know, they're unstoppable normally.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting one. But Cam, I think when you get down to this time of the season, it is those little things which it's. I remember Adam Murray used to say it's the little 1% that add up.
Yeah, and he's right. But you look at the rest of the games that we've got, home and away, and you think for the rest of our games, for example, us having the Quarry Lane, it makes sense. Nobody's going to travel all that well. The only one I could think of is probably Gillingham because they might be playing for the playoffs. Mm. You look at our away games, and the only reason MK Dons have done that is just to be dicks. There's no other logical reason. They've got a 30,000 capacity stadium in League Two, and that's just playing mind games. Everybody else is just like, well, it just makes, like, Wrexham makes sense because it's not a massive area, their away end. So the segregation, obviously, between us and Wrexham is going to be quite big anyway, because for whatever reason, we've got issues with them, other than being Welsh. So it makes sense, but the MK Dons one is just...
I think, to be fair, Cam, MK Dons haven't refused a second batch of tickets yet.
Not yet.
I think we're presuming they might. But
I think they will.
I think they'll get more because he likes money, doesn't he? That wing coming. I think we'll get another batch of at least another 1,000.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit sceptical. Maybe I just think if it was me and I was the owner of that football club, if it was a case of those extra fans could make the difference, I'd be happy to take the loss on the money if it meant that it might give us an advantage in terms of winning the game.
For example, for us, it's different because we'd say, right, Forest Green aren't going to travel well, but Gillingham might bring a couple hundred up in a stand that's, what, 1.5K-ish? Hmm. That's fine. That's a loss that you don't mind. Well, not everybody minds it, but when you're playing in a 30,000 stadium and it could be the game that effectively decides if we go up, we could easily take 6,000-7,000. And there'd be no logic behind them other than saying, like, oh, no, we just don't want you that many of you there. They played mind games last time we went there.
So a lot of... I remember they moved the tickets or something, didn't they? They moved them from the lower to the upper or something.
Yeah, we went upper.
Yeah, caused a lot of aggro. And, yeah, it's an interesting time of the season because football club owners are a funny, funny bunch. Some are really superstitious. Some will try little things, sly little things. Things happen, you know, in and around the dressing room areas. There's lots of things which happen which can really have a mental effect on that. Nigel Clough-Nick has been very, very vocal, as he has been all throughout his tenure, really, about the emphasis on yet. We're not there yet. And I think Saturday's game against Colchester acted as a stark reminder. So I think many fans looked at the league position and thought, we'll score another 5 or 6 goals here.
Yeah, I think the one thing that surprised me is I saw a graphic that Sky Bet put out because they pretended to be interested about League Two for a weekend. They said that we were 90-something percent chance of us winning of getting promoted and 70-something percent chance of us winning the league. Yeah. I was like, it only takes one game for that to completely, you know, if Stockport now win their game in hand, they go top. So like all of a sudden, it's not in our hands anymore, is it? So it's bizarre how some people thought it was dead and buried. Now I do agree. I think some Stags fans think it was a done deal. But talking specifically about Saturday, it was always going to be a horrible game, wasn't it? We don't like Sky for a start. Apart from the County game, we never win on Sky. You know, it was a moved kickoff. Everything pointed to it being a tough, horrible game, and it was. But we didn't lose, and that's the only thing I'll take from it, is we didn't lose. And we move on to a game that will probably suit us more in Wrexham on Friday.
I mean,
they're going to have to attack us.
If anyone is, you know, I was talking to another Wrexham fan earlier today, the Rob Ryan Red podcast, and I was speaking there, they were talking about, well, it looked like you played this football, it looked like you played that. One thing I think the Sky cameras failed to show, Alan, was actually how bad it was down at pitch level on Saturday. And if you needed any more proof, well, let's get the first bird's eye view on it. The halftime food hub challenge, what on earth was happening with that goal?
I thought they did really well to hold the goal themselves. You know, we'd got four either side, two at the back, and I think they did really well.
I thought they were going to take off.
Why not? I know.
I know.
I had all on keeping my papers on my board. I'm pleased it was laminated. It was certainly different.
I just find it funny. I mean, I was watching them try and maneuver the goal round, and obviously because there's that massive structure, the wind was getting caught inside. I'm just like, why are we even bothering to do this? just postpone it.
Need the wind to send it over the stands. So what are they playing around at? Just get on with it.
that's fair. I mean, your effort is still up in the sky somewhere from the opening one. Moving on, Clive, let's obviously look ahead a little bit to those next seven games then. But before we do that, let's just touch upon some of the things from Saturday as well. Elliot Hewitt obviously got back on the bench, albeit because I think George Williams was missing either through illness or injury. I think actually Nigel Clough has said he might have a little bit of an Achilles injury, so we don't know how long he'll be missing for. He very nearly got on, but I think it would have just been a 30-second cameo. But does his reintroduction into the bench bolster our options going into this Easter weekend, or was it literally just making up the numbers in your view?
I don't think making up the numbers does justice to the thing, but I think it's an emotional decision rather than anything else. I don't think Clough felt that he would be bringing him on in a competitive arena. And I think if we were 3 or 4 nil up, he may well have given him some time. But it would have been the wrong time against the wrong team on the wrong day to put his recovery at risk, in my opinion.
What about team selection, Nick? Obviously, it was an unchanged side from the game previously. Were you surprised by the team selection? Given the conditions, I was expecting a little bit more grit in midfield, a la Ollie Clark.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say. I think the only thing we were a little bit light was in midfield, wasn't it? With Quinn, Boateng and Reid. Obviously, Reid plays anyway, but I think we just lacked a little bit of, I suppose grit is the right word, on the ball, didn't we? They seemed to bypass our midfield quite quickly when they broke on us. And I think that was the one thing I would have probably changed. I did think, and I've thought for a few weeks, that Jordan Bowery's been exposed quite a bit at right back. He seems to have gone back to his old ways a little bit. And that's no criticism of him, because he isn't a right back. We know that. And he's had, he's up there with the player of the season sort of thing, certainly for the first three quarters of it. But I think he was massively exposed on Saturday and has been. I think Walsall was the same. I didn't go Bradford, but the last 4 or 5 games, I think he's looked out of touch, and I think we maybe need some either Williams to come back or a Hewitt to at least be available, because Jordan was all over the shop. He unfortunately looked like a Food Hub Challenge entrant,
which is rather unfortunate. Like Cam.
Well, yes,
he didn't have his best game. Boateng didn't have a good game.
No, he didn't. The midfield in general didn't.
We had a hole in the middle of the park when we couldn't afford to have, in fairness.
We did.
And Maris was unavailable for personal reasons. We don't know what they are, but he would have been a stronger candidate, in my opinion, than
he doesn't seem to play Clark at home either, does he? Clark just seems to play away at the minute. I don't know whether that's a tactic, but Quinn seems to play at home and Clark seems to play away from home. But yeah. I think it was a game for Clark for me. Get stuck in, get on the ball. But unfortunately, obviously, you can't moan at Clough. He picks the team and he's done all right so far.
You can. That's the entire point in this podcast. Cam, you were nodding along to the Jordan Bowery, but either that or you were falling asleep.
Both.
Long rude. Day.
Off-term kids camps annoying as shit. I hate kids. you know how it is, Craig.
I'm sure Craig doesn't.
I do in the context of what Cam's talking about. Can we get back to talking about Jordan Bowery, please? Thank you.
He wasn't great, and it did leave just the back four in general a little bit too exposed. It meant that Aidan Flint was having to push up further across and further wide than he needed to, leaving the left side a little bit too bare. I thought Macca, when he came on, helped the situation a little bit. It's like forced us to go a little bit more left-sided rather than going right-side. We're very, very set in our ways with how we play. We're very, very attacking down the right-hand side, and then we switch it to get it forward on the left, which is fine. But Jordan really did have a bit of a shocker on Saturday. Don't know what was particularly wrong with him in general, but it just wasn't a Jordan Bowery performance that we've seen for most of this season. So Elliot Hewitt coming back is great because we get Elliot Hewitt back, but also it gives us that option at right back. And you'd have thought that with another near 4 weeks training that he'll get, because you'd have thought they'll travel to Wrexham on Thursday evening, possibly, that he will have some part to play in Saturday, whether that's he starts on Saturday or whether that's he's at least on the bench and actually gets some minutes, because we know that Clough's not afraid to take Jordan Bowery off. Some players he's a little bit too hesitant to take them off, i.e. Akins, DKD, whereas Bowery kind of just picks and chooses what he wants to do with him, really.
Yeah, I think on that subject, Al, of Hewitt there, there's a danger, though, isn't there, of the expectation level again. Obviously, he was a phenomenal player for us last season and rightly scooped the majority of the awards. We had big hopes about him going into this season until, obviously, the injury at the back end of last season. We all expected him to miss this campaign. The fact that he could be available for the last seven games is huge. But what we can't do is expect the same Elliot Hewitt, and B, put too much pressure on the lad. We've just got to let him come back in and do what he does, because it's an entirely different back four than what Hewitt was thriving in last season. Let's not forget.
Yeah, I'm going to say there's two things I'd say about that. I don't know if you've heard the Andy Garner interview instead of Nigel this week, but he said that he will play a specific part in the last seven games. And also, I know he's obviously coming back after 11 months, but everybody said he was the fittest player that Mansfield Town have ever had. He was incredibly fit. So I think he will play some part. And, albeit even if he's not 100% like he was last year, you can't expect that, like you said. But I think it would be nice to see him back. And I think he will play some part, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep your comments coming in. Have your say on your team. Lots of Wrexham fans watching us this evening. Welcome to you. Of course, me and Clive, one of the podcasts that we did earlier was the local pundit, who says that great interview with Craig and Clive earlier today. Yeah, looking forward to seeing that come out. Do go and watch that and give them a follow. Same with Rob Ryan Red as well. I was on that one earlier today. Richard in the comments, Nick, says the two home games where we've struggled at home this season have been against non-ball playing, ridiculous time-wasting teams. Sutton and Colchester in extremely high wins. In both games, they scored first, and we are chasing against teams who don't want to play in difficult conditions.
Yeah, he's totally right. I mean, the first goal, if we'd have scored the first goal against Colchester on Saturday, it would have been a completely different game. You look, after we scored, I don't think they quite knew what to do, because they sort of were trying to work out in their own heads whether they wanted a draw or not. They were sort of time wasting and then sort of not. I think we sort of upset them scoring that goal, because I don't think they thought we were going to score. The Sutton game is exactly the same. It's the epitome of the teams we don't like to play. And I'll harp back onto it about the Harrogate. If we play them in bad form, they would have beat us. I'm certain of it. But because they hadn't lost in something like 12 games or whatever, they attacked us and we beat them and battered them. But a lot of teams who sit back, we do struggle. And I think that's the main reason why, because we like space, and teams that don't give us any space, it's difficult, because we tend to then just go backwards and we get in a cycle of going left to right, backwards, left, right, backwards, because there's no space in behind for us to sort of get into. I thought the left-hand side did quite well, Cargill and Quinn at times, getting in behind. But my only worry is that teams watch that game and think, well, you know, we'll just sit back then. Because if you look at teams that have attacked us, we battered them. So, but I can't see many of those last few teams defending, because like you said earlier, they've all got stuff to play for.
You can't think of Wrexham doing anything but attackers.
No, and MK Dons.
It's their game style, isn't it? They have a team set up to attack. It ships goals as well, but that's the price you pay.
Yeah, and I think that should suit us. And, you know, the Accrington one is a bit of an anomaly. You've no clue how they're going to attack, but they've got no reason to sit back and try and defend, have they? So Forest Green may need to attack. MK Dons will certainly attack. Gillingham, I would assume, will attack as well. So, and Barrow will have something to play for. So I'm hoping that it actually suits us. But Richard's absolutely right. That's sort of our kryptonite, is poor teams who sit back and like to time. And the worst thing you can do is give them a goal. It's literally the worst.
Right, mathematicians, Mark has just asked, how many points do we feel are needed to get us into the top three? Of course, 7 games to go. So by my quick maths, that's 21 points still to play for. How many points of those 21 do you feel that we need to get into the top three? Alan, are you going all 21?
12.
Cam?
I was going to say about 10, 12, something around there.
Clive?
11. What are you laughing at?
No, just like the way you said it, you know, that you thought about it. So, you know,
I've been doing nothing but think about it while you were answering your question. And I've done a mental calculation. I've recognised what the distance between the best non-automatic promotion team is and the worst case scenario for us. And I think 11 keeps us a distance there. That's but I may be wrong. I may be wrong.
It just made me laugh the way you said 11.
No cake.
No cake.
Bloody start on that nonsense again.
Hey, now, moving on. Anyway, going off the amount of points that we need, though, there's been numerous sort of like different things, sort of like looking at what the maximum amount of points that people can, teams can get. And I think we obviously, Stockport get the highest. They can get 94. We can get 93. Wrexham can get something like 90, 80, some like high 80s. And I think it's Barrow next on like 88 points. But I forget, we've got to play Barrow still. Mm. And the fact that Wrexham and Stockport play each other on the final day. So there's plenty of twists and turns yet, but obviously obviously the maximum point thing is on banking on that team beating that team, and you can't say that Forest Green say that MK Dons and Barrow are nailed or Wrexham are nailed on to beat us. Like it could go anyway. So I think anything above 80 will be sort of like just about there. If you go any, it's like 85 plus, then like Clive said, what was it, 12, 11, you said?
I think it's a toss-up between 11 and 12 in my calculations.
Yeah. What's that, 84 points? That's enough for the top three. It's not enough for the title, I don't think.
Not worried about the title, Cam. No. I've been perfectly happy with third place.
To worry about the title is where are we after the Barrow game or before the Barrow game? Yeah. We need to look. And the top three will be a lot tighter just because we all play each other in the last running.
Yeah, it's the nature of the beast. Nick, on you know, the fact of the matter is there are 21 points which Mansfield Town can gain between now and the end of the season. Everyone seems to have gone for that sort of 11-12 mark. Am I a bit ridiculous in going for 16?
I was going to go for 9. I think it'll be a lot less than you think. Because all the teams below us are inconsistent. All of them. Stockport, Wrexham, Crewe. I mean, Crewe could have run away with it. They could have been top by now. They were really up there at one point. They had games in hand and all sorts. They bottled it. Barrow disappeared. They've got far too many games in hand. They're going to be playing every other day. They're going to struggle. Then everyone underneath us has been inconsistent, including us. That's what makes me think all these teams are not all of a sudden going to start winning games. Plus, they've all got to play each other. Forest Green play everyone. So I don't think many teams are going to be winning any more than 3 or 4 out of that 7. Mm. And I just think 9.82, I think like Cam said, anything above 80, really, I think you're looking about right, because the teams just aren't consistent enough below us.
I think one of the things, the critical things to focus on, Cam, is the fact that it's not the amount of points that we get, it's who we beat. The big things for me are beating those sides that are around us. I really do think we'll delve into this more in the second half of the show, but Friday's game at Wrexham is huge in terms of that points gap and that momentum and that mindset as well. But Wrexham and MK Dons are the two games out of the 7 we've got to go, which for me are must-win games.
They are, but I suppose you also look at it this way. If we won the next 4, it's job done. It's just we know that we're not going to win every game between now and the end of the season, but we just know that if we have to go and pick up points at Wrexham, you know what? If we went and went to Wrexham and got a point, we played a boring 0-0 draw like we did earlier this season, I would be very happy with that.
Yeah.
But it's a big but. It's then we have to then go and beat Accrington Easter Monday. Same with MK Dons. If we pick up a draw at MK Dons, that's fine. We have to beat Forest Green, or we have to beat Crawley, or we have to beat Gillingham. So we can't be unrealistic and just say like, oh, we could win every game. There's no saying that we couldn't, but there's no saying that we could lose every single game between now and the end of the season and we don't even finish in the playoffs.
You know, my biggest fear, and it's been the fear since the start of the season when this fixtures came out, is that we have to go to Barrow and come away with a point. That worries me intensely.
I think we're far enough ahead with enough games left that if we have to go to Barrow to get for a point to win automatics, we want shooting.
I think that the crux of that is that the two teams below us have to play each other. So as long as you're above both of them, they can't both overtake you.
Yeah.
That's the crux of it, isn't it?
Good point. And on that point, let's go to a few more comments and then we'll take a quick break and then look more into those last seven games and delve into the immortal question. No, not what's your favourite biscuit. Who will win player of the season? The vote is now open. Let's delve into those comments first, though. Jason says, I'd take a point on Friday and three on Monday. Susan adds, Super Predictor predicts us to finish top on 88 points and automatic promotion to come for the Forest Green game. Ben says 15 points. The gate is open and says, they still got to play each other, so I'm expecting some draws. So seven. Mark says 12 points. Brendan says, our problem Saturday, as much as I love him at right back, Jordan Barry was at fault for the draw. Where else have we got? Richard, referees need to be stronger in addressing blatant time wasting. Colchester were wasting time after 5 minutes and the referee didn't clamp down on it so soon enough. The keeper going down with a ledge cramp was ridiculous. Then their goal scorer went down like he'd been shot straight after we scored. Ref should have told him to go off the pitch. Keep your comments coming in and have your say on your team. Lots more to talk about here on the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Well, because Mansfield always matters and it's time for the advertisement break.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And of course, if you're counting down towards the end of the season and you're looking forward to celebrating, hopefully come Sunday the 28th of April, Mansfield will be a League One club and they'll be celebrating their success. Well, why not come and join us to either celebrate or commiserate? Let's be honest, if it was commiserate now, there'd be something wrong. Come and join us at Mansfield Museum for Stags Stories Live with former Mansfield goalkeeper Ian Bowling joining us to tell all of his stories, including the story of that infamous handshake. His excellent shirt will be on display that night as well, which if you've been eagle-eyed in the podcast tonight, I think it's one of the ones that's behind Nick's shoulder. It is. You can get your tickets via the link in the description. Tickets cost just £4.50 per person, with all proceeds going to support the excellent Mansfield Museum. The Beautiful Game exhibition opens very, very soon indeed, so do go and check out their website. They've got lots of great events coming up, including two Mansfield Town Shirts events, Stag Stories Live with Ian Bowling, History of the Stags, and much, much more in between. Check that out on their website. And don't forget to get in the description. Sunday the 28th of April, Mansfield Museum. The bar will be open. £4.50 a ticket for Stag Stories Live with Ian Bowling. You're back with the show for the fans, by the fans. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. A couple of the Wrexham fans miffed as to where our comments are coming from. They come from Facebook, X, YouTube, wherever, because we broadcast across a multiple spectrum of platforms. And of course, we've all got voices inside our head which ask questions like, what's your favourite biscuit, Alan Wilson?
Custard cream.
What's your favourite shirt, Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts fame?
Maybe that one.
I can't think of a silly question to ask Clive, or can. Well, I can, but it's not age appropriate for this time of day. Right, moving on to the last couple of fixtures then. Is that a mini Jaffa cake you've got there, Cam?
No, it's a full-size Jaffa cake. Hang on.
No, it's shocking.
Do you know, it's very rude, Cam.
I know. Yeah, to not offer us any is a disgrace, to be fair, isn't it?
Are you gonna...
Thanks, mate. Loved it. Great. Comedy. Right. If only I'd have prepared by... what? Right. I'm going to ask it because I was going to get a reaction. Clive, what's your favourite cake?
Ginger cake.
Oh, come on, you gotta do the gag.
I'm not playing this game anymore. I get hooked into things I'm not responsible for. I've been hooked into buying food which I shouldn't have to do, and now all of a sudden you want to ridicule this old geezer simply because he came out with a sensible decision about whether or not to eat cake before the Bradford City game.
No. I love how irate he gets about it. No cake! Right. Stirring the pot indeed. Right.
No cake discussion.
I think every podcast should have a cake or a biscuit discussion. Right, cake. Nick, get us back to normality, if you please. 7 games to go. Wrexham, Accrington, Crawley, Forest Green, MK Dons, Gillingham and Barrow. Obviously, Nigel Clough very much emphasises on one game at a time because that's all we can influence. But looking at those 7 fixtures, which game worries you the most?
I think that the worry sometimes is that we put pressure on ourselves by having poor performances or poor results, which then puts more pressure on the next game. That worries me. If, for example, if we lose at Wrexham, you simply have to beat Accrington, and that's the sort of worry, isn't it? You beat Wrexham and the pressure on the Accrington game dissipates quite a lot. And we seem to be doing that sort of win-loss in the last few games. But the big games are obvious, aren't they? You know, I got a Wrexham ticket. I didn't get an MK ticket because I didn't think they'd sell out that quick, to be fair. But I probably will get one. But in my back of my mind is still the last game at MK. That's still in my head somewhere. But you just know, like, I think somebody put a comment somewhere. We'll beat those two and we'll lose to Crawley at home. So I think for me, it's always the next game, as stupid as that sounds and what Nigel would probably say. It is always the next game because you look too far in advance and you start to double guess yourself. And it is all about what happens on Friday, isn't it? Because that will determine how fussed I am about Monday.
Can you remember when we played the then league leaders, Stockport County, on New Year's Day? I don't think any sensible Stags fan were thinking, we're going to come away with this one.
No, not at all.
I think we'd keep it tight, damage limitations, grab something if we can. And we actually dominated that game to the point where the scoreline flattered them. So who's to say we can't do the same thing against Wrexham?
Yeah, fingers crossed. Let's keep our discussion on that. And I think that's a big point. We spoke about it earlier on in the show, Alan, about mindset and points gap. Obviously, unless there was a massive goal swing, Stags on plus 42 goal difference, Wrexham on plus 22. So unless they beat us, 20-0 or 21-0, they would, they wouldn't go top anyway if they did beat us. Obviously, Stockport can leapfrog us, but this is why I think it's important for me. It's not necessarily losing the game in terms of the point swing. I think it's the mentality. Obviously, Wrexham carry with them this ridiculous Hollywood connection, which is great. Personally, I like it. I love watching the documentary. I've loved seeing the transformation they've had on the town, which is now, I believe, a city as well, and the effect they've had on the community. But it does carry this footballing jealousy and this footballing hype from all the media outlets and things like that. And I think the mindset side of things going into the final 6 games after Friday, if we were to lose, I think would be a very horrible place for us to be in, which is why I think going back to my previous question, that this is the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with that to a certain extent, Craig, but it's like previous Nigel said in commentary, interview, should I say, rather, it's you don't, if you win a game, you don't lose, if you lose a game, you don't lose the next one, you don't lose two on the trot. And I firmly believe that that will happen all the way through to the end of the season. If by some unfortunate circumstance we lost at Wrexham, which I don't think we will, but if we did, you know, I could see us, there'd be no problem, I think, beating Accrington. But, you know, it's just the old adage, one game at a time. We look after ourselves, and I don't think we'll have a problem. Never mind what anybody else does, your Wrexhams, your MK Dons, anybody else. If we concentrate on what we good at, I don't think we'll have a problem.
I get that point, Alan, but Cam, it's still true, though, isn't it, that there is a mindset thing which carries it? Because Stags fans have had this thing year upon year. You go back through our previous seasons, last season missing out on the final day by one goal on the playoffs. The previous season, the playoff final against Port Vale. All right, previous season before that, you write off with COVID and the one before that. But even then, before that, the Flitcroft season, you know, losing out on the final day to MK Dons. The year before that, Steve Evans walking out with X amount of games to go and it all going wrong. We've got to this point in the season where it's one little niggly bit and it brings the whole house of cards tumbling down. So mindset for Mansfield fans is a massive thing and we cannot ignore it.
Yeah, we can't. We've not lost back-to-back games this season, have we?
No.
At all?
No. We've not lost two games in the league and we haven't had any team get the double over us, and the only team that can do that is MK Dons. Mm.
Has any team won by more than one goal against us?
No,
not away.
No, it's always been quite narrow, hasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
2-1-1.
Can I just say, Craig, you know how you said about the mindset and everything and all the years previous? I think that's all right. It's a fair point, but it's not the team that we've got this year and the squad. I think that plays a very big part.
I get that, and I don't disagree. I just think that we've all been through this thing of expectancy and levels being raised through the roof and hype coming into play at this stage of the season. And all it takes is one little slip, one little moment to go off track, and toxicity fully comes into play, Cam.
It does. The problem is, though, like we've said before, we've been in this position before, and the wheels have fully fallen off. You think under Flitcroft, if we'd have just won, or not even just like, what was it, late goal not allowed at Oldham on the telly when Danny Rose scored, late goal conceded against Stevenage, which cost us a point, so that's 2 points, that had been that season done. And it's these little niggly bits that we just have cut out of our game slowly over the season. And we've just got to make sure that we just do what we've done all season. Don't give away stupid goals. Keep fighting in games. Don't just roll over and give up. And just make sure we're just playing the same way. We shouldn't have to. We're top of the league for a reason. Like, be all and end all, this is always the thing. We are the best team in the league by the virtue that we are top of the table.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how we've played or what results we've got. Crew have beat us this season. Wimbledon have beat us. MK Dons have beat us. Don't matter. We're top of the league. What's got us there is this consistency that we've had all season. If we can carry on this consistency until the last two games, then we'll have done automatic promotion, hopefully by then.
I think sorry to cut you off, Cam. I think one of the things that's vital to say, though, is I agree with Alan as well in terms of that it's a completely different squad. It's a completely different thing. And whilst in the back of my mind, Nick, I do have that negativity, that doubt from all those previous years hurt, one thing that has stuck in my mind all through this season, and very much so more so in recent weeks when you know, we've had more people reach out for us to ask to go on TV or podcasts or radio interviews or whatever because we are where we are on the table. And the same question keeps cropping up. What's been the crux to the success this season? And it's the emphasis on this season, which I want to hammer out. Where we are now is not based on this season. Where we are now is based on the work that has been put in over the last three seasons to get us to this point. So it's my fear is not all the work that we've done this season coming apart. It's three long years of planning, strategic moves here, lots of work in the background, lots of man hours, all of that sort of stuff not coming off because we have built this. And I don't think Mansfield Town will ever be in a position in the future where they can say this is something which has been built over 3-4 years.
Yeah, it's the clearest project I've ever seen happen in sort of my lifetime, where it's been obvious, hasn't it? The club's had a direction. I think the first season with the playoffs was came too soon a little bit. I don't think we were ready. And God help us if we'd have got promoted. We'd have been doing a Carlisle. We'd have been coming straight back down. I think the first season we were a little bit, you know, the momentum just carried us, didn't it? We were unbeatable. Last season was about right. I think most of us predicted playoffs and we were just about there enough there. Then, ironically, the best thing that could have happened is we missed out. And then this season, we've just added little bits, haven't we? But in my head, I look at that team and those players and I think, do they look like they will throw it away? I just don't think they do. You look at the dressing room, you look at the likes of Flint. Do you think Aidan Flint would let that happen? I don't know. It's a weird thing to say, but I just don't see that group of players as we see them.
No.
Throwing it away. They're just too, I don't know. A lot of them are winners now. We've got the best, arguably the best player in the league. You've got DKD, you know, we all those players and Quinny and that, I just can't see them letting it slip. Whereas before, I don't think we've had a massive insight in the dressing room. I don't think we've felt what it was like. Whereas I get the impression this season with all the videos they've done and the extra bits and the interviews, I feel like we've seen a bit more of the sort of calibre of the players. And I just can't see them looking at that table now, that group of players letting it slip.
Leadership, I think, is a massive, massive thing now, Clive. And as much as, you know, we praise Aidan Flint for his captaincy this season and the development of Lewis Brunt and making us tight, it's other players and their experiences which are also going to come to the forefront. Everyone from Christy Pym all the way through the side, your Lucas Aikins, your Stephen Quinns, even your George Williams, who, you know, might not be playing because of his injury, but he's a promotion winner. We have promotion winners left, right and centre. They know what it takes and they've also critically got the experience to carry us through.
I think we've got a great blend of experience and youth. I think that's what every team tries to do. Get the spirit and the pace and the energy of younger players and temper that lack of experience with some seasoned campaigners. We've got that. And I think the balance is about right. And as a consequence of that, we've won a lot more games than we would have done. We've lost fewer games than we might have done. We've not played a team that's in the league that scored 3 goals against us. So essentially, if we score 2 goals against Wrexham, we don't lose the game. We may win it. And I think because our goals come from everywhere, we're not reliant on a Mullins doing the job or a Cookie doing the job. We are able to score from all sorts of places if the team plays well. And I think we can put last Saturday's performance away now. It's gone. I think we go into Wrexham with the confidence we should have taken out of the Bradford game, because it'll be a similar situation. We'll have opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to talk about the player of the season vote, but I think we'll leave that for the next podcast. Ben in the comments says, what's different this season is we are hard to beat. We've not conceded more than 2 goals in a game or season, and now we convert our chances. We just need to stick to our game plan and not get drawn into the emotion of the last few games. The line. The only thing that concerns me, Alan, is something which was brought up earlier today. That's the fact that we have been tremendous all season in terms of being tight at the back, but we've not kept a clean sheet in a while. We're conceding sloppy goals here and there. I think we've conceded in the last 9 or something like that. There's a stat out there. We need to keep a clean sheet again.
Yeah, because that's been Mansfield's forte, hasn't it? You know, it's quite easily the adage, you know, you don't if you don't let one in, you're not going to lose. You'll only at least draw. So I think if they get back to that, which I would imagine on the training ground this week will be, you know, a definite plus, which is what they'll be doing. I'm sure they do every week, but this week especially, when you're playing teams like Wrexham, who will come at you, and they've got Mullin and decent strikers in their team, you know, I think it only bodes well for us. But like I said, I think Hewitt will be used somewhere along the line. I really do. Because he is a decent right back.
What is it that you used to say, Al? With Hewitt, we can do it. And with that, let's play podcast predictions. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? It's the guessing game that brings you zero fame. But to be the best, you must outguess the rest. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? In the League or Cup, you just make it up. Because they're just works of fiction. It's podcast predictions. Will they win, lose or draw? Well, first things first, what we need to do is we need to give a little bit of an update on the podcast predictions table, because obviously Good Friday, that would be the last game of the month. But because there's such a quick turnaround between that and Accrington, we're going to do the end of March table a little bit early. So let's find out where people are in the podcast predictions table. And we'll start with honourable mentions. So if I give your name a shout out, this means that you are not in the top 10, but you are indeed on the scoreboard in some way, shape or form. So let's start with JS, Steve Yule, Ashley Mutter, Clive Parkin, Tim Phillips, Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts fame. We've got me, we've got Will Pound, we've got Adam Crump, we've got Proud Stag, Simon Wilson, Otley Stag, Marie Wilson, Kathy Holmes, Keely of Her Game 2, Stephen, Sarah, Paul, Darren, Joe, Richard, Roger, Cam, Jim Evans of podcast fame, Sam, Matt Green, not that one, Ian Brown, Dennis Sims, Matt W, Craig Vincent, Craig Foster, Mark Lapko, Mitchell the American, Craig Pateman, Addison Crump, Taxi Pete, John, Nathan Edge, who remembers him, Gabby A, Sarah Armson, The Gates, Teddy Oliver, B Block New Boys, Nick Welsh, Jubs, Liam Smith, Kyle Whitty, Joe, Luke Bramall, Mr. Tickle, Watson Wanderers, Yellow Gaz, Corey Waltrus, Oliver 425, Tara, Joe, Kyle, Radcliffe Stag, Lorna, Tom, Mark, Emma, Supermel, Mel Shacklock, Jimmy, Mr. Beak, and Andrew. Well done if you got a shout out there. It means you are on the scoreboard. But who is in the top 10? And who's who in and who's where in the Mansfield Matters League? Well, I can tell you we're now on four players that are over the 100-point mark. In at 10, it's David with 83 points. In at 9, it's Stags Chat with 84. Fathead then in 8th on 85. Mrs. Crump takes up 7th on 92, with Chris Ellison just ahead on 93. Kiwi Stag is in 5th on 95. And then the top four all have over 100 points. In at 4, it's Alan Wilson with 102. In at 3, it's Ben Swain with 104. In at 2nd, it's Nick Felton with 106, which means leading the way at the top of the pack, Steve Nadin with 119. But what about the Mansfield Matters League? Who is Let's find out. Well, I can tell you so far this season in podcast predictions, there has been a whopping 3,045 points scored, 430 of which have come from the Mansfield Matters group. In at 7, it's Nathan Edge on 12 points. In at 6, despite starting late, it's Jim Evans on 38. Cam is in 5th on 46.
way behind me in fourth on 74. Nick, you're just ahead on 78 in third. Clive, you take second on 80. Whilst Alan, you lead the way on 102. But what about our trip to Wrexham? I'm going to start with Clive. Your prediction for Wrexham, please.
Well, I made a flippant prediction earlier on the Wrexham cast. I can't possibly believe what I said. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win, and man of the match will be Christy Pym.
Next up, we're going to go for Nick.
1-1, Lewis Brunt.
Alan, you're next.
Wrexham 1, Mansfield 2, DKD.
Cam, you are next.
1-0 win, Aidan Flint, man of the match.
Alan, just remind me of your man of the match again. DKD, was it?
DKD, yeah.
And Nick, you went Lewis Brunt, didn't you?
Yeah.
I am going to go for... It's going to be a tight game. It's going to be a rip-roaring game. I am going to go for a 3-2 win. Ooh. Man of the match, I am going to put... I'm going to give it to... DKD. As always, if you want to play along with podcast predictions, you can do so via the link in the description. You must do so no later than 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff on Friday. We'll then get all the scores and everything saved. Keep a lookout on social media for when the Monday one will go on. I am in London, though, from Saturday, so I'm hoping to get it done pretty much after the game on Friday. But keep a lookout on social media and we'll let you know when you can get involved. Loving the comments from the gate, by the way. Wrexham, Wrexham, where's your gate? Wrexham, where's your gate? And 2-0, we're going to take our game to Colin Larkin, man of the match. It's got to be someone that is, of course, in the current squad. And as Cam has just very reminded me, I said about Accrington in that little link, and I forgot that we were doing Accrington predictions. So let's go through them. I'll kick us off. I'm going to go for a 6-0 win, and I'm going to go for Elliot Hewitt as man of the match. Cam, you're next.
Well, you've got to take that now. You can't change your answer.
No, I'm in.
You're in?
Yeah, that's 6-0 win. 6-0 win, Elliot Hewitt. I might regret the Elliot Hewitt thing, because don't forget, if your player doesn't get on the pitch, you do lose 2 points. So I might regret that. But hey, it's the end of the season. We've got to feel brave, right? Cam, you're next.
3-0 win and Lewis Reed, man of the match.
Nick, you're next.
5-3, Will Swan.
Oh, what a prediction.
We're going to concede 3 goals again. Right.
I think it's going to go mad. And I'll buy Nando's.
Well, you've said it now. You've said it.
Well, if it's 6-0 or 5-3, it's got to be a Nando's, hasn't it?
Yeah, there you go. Right, Alan.
3-0 to Mansfield. DKD again.
Ooh, and Clive.
3-1, Lucas Aitkins.
There you go. As always, you can get involved in podcast predictions via the link in the description. And that, this time, is all we've got time for on tonight's Mansfield Matters podcast. My thanks, as ever, to the Mansfield Matters podcast panel, which tonight has included Clive Parkin, Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts fame. Go and check out his YouTube channel for the Stags shirts, stories, interviews. Latest one, Jonathan Delaye, in great interview on there. Alan Wilson and Cam Felton as well. And most importantly, to you guys at home for watching and for listening. 7 games to go in Sky Bet League 2-2 over the Easter period. Will we be enjoying our chocolate with a smile on our face, or will we be left hopping mad at the end of Easter? Can the Stags find the wind in their sails and get through this Easter period top
of the table. Plenty more twists and turns still to come. We love it. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Goodbye, good night, safe trip to Wrexham, don't eat too much chocolate, and we'll see you next week on the show for the fans, by the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.